where you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. Our guest today will be with us live from Jerusalem, who's the former mayor of Shiloh in Israel in the region of Samaria, which together with Judea is known to much of the world as the West Bank. He's the author of a new book, and you're going to want to hear what he has to say right after this.
Virginia teachers, take the lead in education with up to 64% off your graduate degree at Liberty University. This year has forced you to innovate, adapt, overcome, and you've not only risen to the challenge, you've crushed it. Now help education emerge from this crisis stronger than ever with your MAT or MED degree. Our transfer-friendly degree programs are 100% online and start as low as $282 per credit hour. It's our thanks for all you do for our future. To learn more, text TEACHER to 49595. That's TEACHER to 49595.
Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. We're here today with David Rubin. David is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, located in Samaria, which to most of the world is known as the West Bank. He's the author of a new book, Confronting Radicals: What America Can Learn from Israel. And he's here to talk to us about it. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, and we're so glad that we were able to make this work. And for our listening audience, we want to let you know we're also recording the video, which is new for us, but we pray that it would be a blessing to all that would see it. And you'll be able to go on our Facebook page as well as charismanews.com to see the video. But David, you're coming to us live today from Jerusalem. You've been living there many years. Again, you've served as a mayor there in the nation. And you've written a new book that you think has a specific pertinence to the nation of the United States. Could you tell us about it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the new book is Confronting Radicals: What America Can Learn from Israel. And I was watching events in the United States. And as you know, Jeff, I was born in the United States and raised in the United States. I've been living in Israel for about 30 years, but I'm still a dual citizen. I'm still connected to both countries. And when I saw what was happening in the United States, with all of the riots and the looting and the burning of government buildings, burning of American flags, and terrible acts of vandalism. And they said that it was all about racism here. It seemed like we were talking about an insurrection against the United States of America, an attempt to overthrow the values and the foundations that made America great. The radical left out in the streets using many of the same tactics that the Muslim who throw Molotov cocktails, those homemade firebombs at people, at police, who burn down government buildings. And you know, all of these things that I saw were very troubling, what America can learn from Israel. And believe me, America can learn a lot from Israel, both our successes and our mistakes.
Well, I 100% believe you. For this period of time in America, it's been a turbulent time. It's been a confusing time. I think it's been a disheartening time for everyone who loves the nation. Now, Israel has just been going through your own turbulent time, and we've been watching from abroad the Hamas offensive, the rockets that have been fired into the nation. And it's interesting because many of the same individuals who were proponents of the riots here in America were outspoken supporters of the Hamas offensive. Is that something that surprises you?
Unfortunately not. And what I have seen over the years, and what I especially, is that organizations of the far left, like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, these are organizations that are very anti-Israel. These are organizations that align themselves with any movement, any liberation, what they call liberation movement, any liberation movement other than the liberation movement of the Jewish people, which is the state of Israel. You know, Zionism is the return of the Jewish people to their homeland, to its homeland, after almost 2,000 years of exile, when we were scattered around the world. And according to prophecy, we came back into the land of Israel. We reclaimed our ancient homeland, and we built it up again. And many of these Muslim radicals came here at that time, they were looking for work. They wanted to take part in a successful economy, and they immigrated to the land of Israel. That's basically what happened. And their population grew, and then they became rebellious, and they started to have their own insurrections against the state of Israel, not showing any appreciation for the country that originally gave them or their parents or grandparents work, and looking to bring it down. And very often they call them peaceful protests, but we in Israel know a lot better after decades of terrorism. And as far as terrorism is concerned, I know about terrorism from a personal level because I was wounded in a terrorist attack as well. 19 years ago, when my three-year-old son and I were driving home in our car, and halfway home, the car was hit by a massive hail of bullets. The car went completely dead when the bullets hit. I felt a bullet crash into my left leg, and blood started pouring out all over the place. And it was actually terrorists from the Tanzim terrorist organization of the Palestinian Authority. They were firing AK-47 assault rifles, we later found out. And I was shot in the leg. My son, I turned around him to see if he was okay. His eyes were wide open, his mouth was wide open. He looked like he was trying to scream or cry, but no sounds were coming out. And I quickly tried to start the car. I figured my son is in shock. I better just try and start the car and get away from the terrorist who was still shooting. Blood is pouring out of my leg. I turned the ignition. I shifted gears. I did everything I could to get the car to start. It wasn't starting. The terrorist was still shooting at the car. And then finally the car started. It started as if it had never had a problem starting before. I hit the gas. I drove 110 miles an hour to get to the next community up the road where I hoped that I could get an ambulance. They got to work on me there. And they discovered that my son had been shot in the head, that a bullet had gone into his head where the skull meets with the neck, causing a skull fracture and internal bleeding in the cerebellum. Well, they wrapped his head with bandages and put both of us on stretchers into the ambulance. They attached him to an oxygen tank and took us to the hospital in Jerusalem, where they got to work on us. And I was told that I was the 1,000th victim of terrorism to be hospitalized in that hospital just in that previous year and a half. I didn't need that dubious honor, but the truth is, it really shows the extent of the terrorism, because we have several hospitals in Israel, and I was only during that year and a half that they were keeping those records. Anyhow, they got to work on both of us, a couple of operations, several weeks in the hospital, and post-trauma therapy for my son afterwards. And thank God we survived. And, you know, and truly we were saved by God's miracles. You know, I was shot in my left leg, even though the terrorists were shooting from the right side, which enabled me to drive my automatic car to get to that ambulance. The terrorist.
Yeah, I'm sure our listeners, most of us, we can't even comprehend or put ourselves in that place. I mean, of course, for the parents among us, for those saying, well, you know, but to have it affect your child, how did that change you? Surely that had to have been a life changing event.
That That was the most painful thing. You know, as I was laying on the stretcher in the ambulance and, so I was shot, I was wounded. I knew I would eventually be okay. But, you know, that I'm laying there on the stretcher and my son was in such pain and I couldn't help him. That was the most painful thing for me. And, you know, I know there are a lot of people out there with three-year-old sons and daughters and other young children. And, you know, look, up to that point, I couldn't have imagined it either happening to us and the trauma that it caused in my family. But, you know, I have to thank God because, I mean, when, you know, the bullet that went into my son's head and through his neck missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter. Okay, that's about that big. And, you know, so we were just saved by God's miracles. And the car starting and getting us to the ambulance after not starting at first, thank God for that.
How did that event change your understanding or your perspective on the conflict between what we're watching right now with Hamas and the nation of Israel?
There are different ways that you can deal with a trauma like that. And, you know, when terrorists shoot you and shoot your three-year-old son, you know, it can make you very angry. And you know, at first, you know, I could have lined up those terrorists against the wall and just shot them all. But, you know, we have an expression in Hebrew, Hakol L'tova, which means everything is for good. And it doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. We know that bad things happen to good people, but it means that everything happens for a good reason and that some good is supposed to come out of every bad experience. That's what I tried to look to in this difficult period. And I said, okay, how can I turn this into good? And I started eventually. It took a while to figure it all out, but I had this vision of a therapeutic educational campus that would help children to get over the trauma. And I eventually started, I eventually established the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund for the purpose of healing the trauma of the terror victim children. And, you know, thank God we're doing a lot of good things. And I want to encourage people to go to our website, shilohisraelchildren.org, where they can get more information about what we do and hopefully partner with us.
100%. And we certainly want to encourage our listeners and our audience to do that. I also want to make sure this message comes through loud and clear, because you wrote your book as What America Can Learn. And so this sounds like you have something very pertinent to say to America and to Americans from your experience in Israel, in the Middle East. It's called Confronting Radicals. So if you had to boil it down to what you want Americans right now to understand as it relates to confronting the radical left or even domestic terrorism, what is your core message that you're trying to get across right now?
Oh, there is so much. I'll try to sum up the main points. Okay, first of all, when someone is burning an American flag or destroying monuments to American heroes or burning Bibles, God forbid, they're not protesting racism. It's not about racism. It's about protesting, and not just protesting, but trying to bring down the United States as a Judeo-Christian civilization. And by extension, other countries as well, like Canada and Europe, you know, they are trying to destroy Judeo-Christian civilization, but in particular, Israel, which is the biblical nation, and the United States, which adopted that biblical heritage, in establishing its own nation. And anyone who wants can. You know, they could read in the first chapter of my book about the founding fathers and what their connection was to the Hebrew Bible, which is quite remarkable. But we have to understand that it's a war that is based on a totally different value system. And it's a war that has been going on for a long time, that the radical secular left started after, in the 1960s and after the 1960s. And sure, there was some nice music that came out of the 1960s. That was the only thing that came out of the 1960s that was actually good. And because if you look at it, what came out of the 1960s? The gradual destruction of the traditional American family, the hard work, perseverance, and faith. Those are the values that made America great. And in Israel, we know about socialism. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of friends. 5 years, not only was there a socialist economic system that eventually brought 440, also a system by which the government had a lot of power. And you know, socialism, what is socialism? Mm-hmm. Too much control, even if it is democratic socialism, which it was. We did have the right to vote. But when you give the government too much power, they're going to abuse it. There was one television station. There was one health fund in the country. There was no health insurance choice. And there was one labor union. It was a mega labor union called the Histadrut. And if you wanted to get anywhere in your career, you had to belong to the Histadrut. You had to belong to that mega labor union. In the early 1980s, Prime Minister Menachem Begin, who was not a socialist, he was the first non-socialist prime minister, he worked together with President Ronald Reagan. Okay? Reagan, the Reagan and Begin plan. And they worked together to do, we'll absolutely help you, but only if you open up your free markets. And Begin said, great, I'm happy to do that. So he did. And it's been a process, but today we have a roaring free market economy in Israel. They don't know and they really don't understand. And it's important for them to learn that lesson from Israel, from our. The whole talk about a Palestinian state, creating a terrorist state in the biblical heartland of Israel, is one of the biggest mistakes that Israel ever almost made. And it brought the greatest waves of terrorism. It also has endangered our country like no other threat, except for perhaps the Iranian nuclear threat. And we learned from that experience. At this point, a clear majority of the country no longer talks about the whole land for peace in Israel, despite what President Biden or some of his supporters might say.
Well, it's incredible. And, you know, for our history, America and Israel has always been the staunchest of allies, and it's our continued prayer that our nations would remain so. And it's very clear from this conversation that everyday Americans could do well and would have a lot to learn by taking a look at the message that you're carrying right now in your book, Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. It's certainly a time where we need courage, we need resolution, and we need bravery to move forward to make sure that our foundations are not destroyed. David, what is the best way for our listening audience to follow you, to get your book, and to see what you're doing in Israel and other places?
Well, there are a lot of .com, and they can start there. They can get a lot of information about Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. They can also see my previous books, such as Trump and the Jews, and they can get whatever information about Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel, and they can to my Facebook page, which is also David Rubin Israel, and where I speak out on the left has gotten control of Facebook and Twitter and many other social media. Not only speak out, but get involved, and get involved at the grassroots level, because that is where change, grassroots movement to change America, they have exceeded to a frightening extent, and people should understand that if they get involved at the grassroots level, that's really where change happens, you know, at the school boards, at the supporting children to college. And obviously, I have more to say about that, but you don't need to support an education that teaches your children how they have to stand up.
Well, to that, we give a hearty amen. We couldn't say it any better. Of course, David, we are continually keeping Israel in our prayers, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, where you're currently residing, and praying God's richest blessings upon you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the podcast, and we look forward to being able to do it again sometime soon. God bless.